We're going back to 2 Timothy this morning. We've been away from there for a while, but we'll go back there today. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you want to be turning there. We've been talking about passing the faith along to our next generation, and not even just to the next generation, I guess, but to all those that that are in our lives. Amen, that God would use us to minister to our day, to our world. And we've been looking at the Apostle Paul giving the direction to young Timothy, and we've been gleaning a lot of truths from that. I guess last time we were here in this particular topic, we talked about Paul's conversion and the drastic change that took place in his life, that the one that went from the persecutor to the persecuted, the one that had sought to stamp out anyone that was found in the way, he said. And I'm just thankful for the way this morning. There is a way. There is a way that a believer is to walk. There is a direction. There is a path. It is a one path. Matter of fact, Jesus said, narrow is the way. Amen. This is not a broad way. It's not overly complicated. I often hear about many other religions in the world, and I was reading something someone put up the other day on the computer, and they were talking about they had to have the right jewel for a certain day. I have no idea what that means, but anyway, they had to have the right jewel, and so they were given a list of what rock or what jewel or what element you had to have to get you through this particular situation. Well, this is a simple way. It is a narrow way, but yet all we need is Jesus. Amen. All we need is to come unto him, and as we've been singing here, and the presence of God has been manifest here this morning, that the way is open. Even the door and the doors of the city are open, and the bride says come, and the Spirit says come. Let he who will come and take, you that are thirsty, come and drink. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the way? And so Paul went about stamping out those that were in the way, and the very one that was seeking to destroy it, which was not going to happen. He could not stop it. Amen. The scripture teaches us that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And I still believe that. And I know I'm not the only one here this morning that understands that the way is made. And the church is on a solid foundation this morning. But yet, then we find where God spoke to him on the way. And a great light shone, and his eyes were open. First they were closed, and then they were open. And he understood that who he was really persecuting was Jesus. Amen. The very one that the Christians that he was locking in prison, Jesus says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or against the goats. And so we've been looking at that, and we looked at that last week or last time here in 2 Timothy. And so this morning, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we're just going to begin there with verse number 14. I kind of went old school on you this morning on the title. If it's not up already, is it up there? Keep on keeping on. Amen. That's old school. That's old Pentecostal stuff right there. You got to keep on keeping on. I remember the old preachers, they would tell us, there's one thing we understood without a doubt, that we had to keep on keeping on, that we couldn't stop, that we had to continue. And so that's what we want to look at this morning as Paul is going to instruct Timothy, and hopefully we come away with it this morning if we can make it clear to us that we must continue. Amen. That we must keep going on the way, that we can't get turned off the route, that we can't go from the left or to the left or to the right, my left, this right. We've got to keep our eyes straight. As a matter of fact, one of the prophets, Isaiah, said that we'll hear a voice in our ear and says, this is the way. Walk in it. Amen? Don't go to the right or to the left, but walk in the way. Continue moving forward. And so that's what the instruction is for this morning. Let's start there. I want to start with verse number 14. We just have a few verses to read, and we're in 2 Timothy 3. It says this, but continue. Verse 14, but continue. You guys want to help me preach this morning and look at someone close by and say, continue. Amen. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I don't know, I probably say this often, but I guess this is probably one of the monumental statements in Scripture. It gives, not that it gives it, but it identifies the authority of the Word of God. Amen. The Scripture is the authoritative Word of God. As a matter of fact, Paul makes it very clear and says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. It is God-breathed. It came. He is the ultimate source. Amen. The Word of God. And so we understand this morning and we recognize the authority of the Word of God. We don't give, the church does not give the Word of God authority. Amen. The church does not say, yes, this is the Word of God, so therefore it became the Word of God. No, this was the Word of God. This is the God-breathed Scripture. And so Paul here says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It came from, he is the ultimate source. Even though we understand that the Scripture was written by many different authors over a long period of time, and even, I mean, I'm not, I can't really do this, but I've kind of gotten to a point sometime when I can identify certain writers and maybe identify their thought, but there are those that can really dig down into it and they can see the little nuances of certain authors and how they wrote and what their emphasis was and all that, and all that may be true, and I believe it probably is, but really when it comes right down to it, this is the God-breathed Word. I mean, he is the ultimate source. And holy men of God were moved on by the Spirit of God and began to write the words of God. And so we can see that. And so when Paul is giving Timothy the instruction, and so we want to build on that thought this morning, this goes way beyond any specific instruction he would give to Timothy. This is for every one of us this morning, is that this is the Word of God, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so as we study the Word of God, we understand that this is showing the way. That there is no other way. You say, way to what? Well, the way to where we're trying to get. There is a destination. Now, I'm careful how I say that because I understand this morning that through Jesus Christ, we are in Christ, that we are in the Father, that we have come into the presence of God, that we do live coram Deo, that we do live before the face of God every day of our life, that we're not waiting some time off in the distance to be in the presence of God. But yet there is a way that we must walk. And so the Scripture gives us that way. This is the only way unto the Father. There is not many roads. There is only one way. Now, I know that sounds narrow and pretty narrow-minded and not very broad-minded, but that's Scripture. There is only one way unto the Father. There is only one way that you and I can have fellowship with our Creator. with the very one that made the worlds. As a matter of fact, when the scripture is talking about Jesus, it says, all things, we read it last time when we were over in John, he says, all things were made by him. And so that ties him all the way back to Genesis 1 and the Creator. He made all things. Amen. God says it this way over in Isaiah, I made all things by myself. I didn't have any help. I spoke things into the existence by myself. And so when we see that this morning, we understand that the Word of God teaches us the true way, every other way is a lie. Anything that teaches a way into God other than through Jesus Christ is a lie. There are some things that are surely believed among us. There are some things that we are certain of. There are some things that we can speak in definity and say without controversy and without wavering that there is but one way, and it's Jesus Christ. Look over into Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I know this is familiar to most of us, but I want us to understand this morning why we study the Scripture. Why do we spend so much time? Why is it so important that we look into the Word of God? And this goes all the way back into the Old Testament ways and the Old Testament manner of living. And this is God speaking through Moses unto the children of Israel. And he says this over in Deuteronomy chapter number 3, or chapter 6, I'm sorry, verse number 3. And he says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house, and on thy gates. Now, we understand, and we've talked about this before, and we looked at this, and this was known, this was like a call to worship in the children of Israel, and known as the Shema, which basically means to hear. And it starts off just by verse number 4 that says hear, verse number 3 that says hear, therefore. And so it's sort of like if you're trying to get someone's attention. I remember when Mom was trying to get my attention, and even probably still today, she would say, listen to me, or listen up, pay close attention. And that's what we have here. We have God speaking through Moses and to the children of Israel, and even to us this morning, that says, hear this. I want you to understand the importance of this. Jesus would say it this way, verily, verily, I say unto thee, which means truly, truly. This is a trustworthy saying and worth our attention this morning. And it's this, that the Lord our God is one. And he says this, I want you to communicate this. I want you to pass this on unto your children. I want it upon your hands. I want it as frontlets before their eyes. I want it on your gates. I want it on your doorposts. Whatever means necessary, hear this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And hear it. Write it down. Remember it. And so I've got to understand this morning that as Paul is talking to Timothy and he's giving them this instruction, he says this. He says, continue in the things which thou hast learned. Continue in the things. Keep on keeping them. And has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast heard them, learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. think about some of the things we've looked at so far in this study here in 2 Timothy. Think about what Paul has told Timothy. He's, especially even here in chapter number 3, he makes it very clear to Timothy. He said, Timothy said, perilous times are coming. Hard times are coming. When you think of perilous, you think of danger. And from there, he goes into these perilous times and starts making a description, talking about the manner of men that would be present and talking about the things that would they would give themselves over to and disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and all these things. Talking about having a form of godliness or having an appearance, looking godly, looking like you had it together, looking like you were a follower, having a form, but denying the power thereof. He talks about the suffering. We looked at that last time. It says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so all this stuff, all these things going on, and all this deception and suffering and hardship and persecution that Timothy's facing, the question Timothy would be, what can I do? What shall I do? I need something, Paul. What is it that you would have me to do? And Paul says, just keep on. Keeping on. Keep doing what you know to do. Keep doing what you've been taught. You've been taught it from a little child. You've been taught it from your... Matter of fact, look over here. We looked at it before there in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. When I call to remembrance, verse number 5, the unfeigned faith or the genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul, what can I do in these perilous times? Just keep doing what you're taught. Just keep doing what Nanny taught you. Keep doing what Mama taught you. Just keep doing the things that you've been taught because you've been taught the Holy Scriptures. Matter of fact, he says you've been taught it from your youth. Wow, what an advantage, man. Now, I know we don't all have the same experience. I understand that, and unfortunately, this is not the case for many people that they are taught the Scripture and the Word of God from their youth. But somehow or another, when you see Timothy and you see the type of person this young man is, and you see, you know, the confidence that Paul seems to place in him, this wasn't just chance. This isn't something that just kind of happened. This was something that was implanted in him from his grandmother, from his mother, from his youth. He was taught it. Man, what a great privilege. Amen. Young people, y'all sitting in here this morning, let me tell you, you got parents that are teaching you the Word of God, and they're showing you the way, and they're teaching you the Scripture, and they're saying, this is the way, walk in it. You are of great privilege. Amen. It is of great advantage. Paul says, you've been taught it. What can you do? Continue in what you've been taught. All the other things, he says in verse 5, all those having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So he says, continue. He says, avoid. Turn away. Turn away from what? That form of godliness. That show of godliness, not the genuine. You've been taught this from your youth. Just keep on. I heard a quote, actually I heard someone preaching the other day, and they quoted a quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones, and so I went and tried to find it. And it's about keeping on. Martin Lloyd-Jones says it this way. He says, there's nothing which so certifies the genuineness of a man's faith as his patience and his patient endurance, his keeping on steady in spite of everything. Amen. His keeping on. Paul tells Timothy, continue. Continue in it. Paul urged the believers there in Antioch. It says over in Acts chapter number 13. I'll just read two verses there. It says, and when the Jews, verse 42 of Acts 13, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. It says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Continue. Keep on keeping on, he says. Consistency, continuity. Keep going in what? In the direction that you've been showed from a child, he says. You've been taught this from a young child. Look what Abraham, this is going all the way back to Genesis, but listen how God speaks to Abraham. Kind of a strange place to look this morning, but over in Genesis chapter number 18, this chapter is dealing with the angels that appeared unto Abraham there on the plain as they were on their way basically to destroy the twin cities of the plain in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham had bid these angels to come to him and stay. And look at verse 18. It says, or verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of. He says, I know Abraham. I know what he's going to do. He's going to command his children. Similar passage in Exodus chapter number 10. Exodus chapter number 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. Because I'm doing these signs among you, all the signs we were aware of in Egypt. He says, I'm doing this that you might tell your son and your son's son, that you might pass it on, that you might give it to the next generation. It's a commandment. This is not... God says, I know what Abraham's going to do. Abraham's going to command his sons that they follow my way. Tell you what, this morning, I'm thankful for parents that commanded. Amen. I'm thankful to have a father that when it came church time, it was not, do you want to go? It was not, hey, won't you come go with us? It was, you're going. Man, I wasn't asked my opinion. I wasn't asked what I thought. Because to be honest with you, there were some times I probably would have stayed home. I remember as a young boy, I was probably 12, 13, 14 years old. Can't remember the exact time. Before I ever got to see a Super Bowl. I say, why? Because Super Bowl was on Sunday night. You know what Sunday night was? Sunday night was church night. And I had to get the flu to do that. But I got to see the Super Bowl. I think you'll remember the Eagles and the Raiders were in it. Jim Plunkett. I remember that. I remember my first Super Bowl I ever watched. That might be able to tell me what year it was. Why? Because I wasn't asked. I was commanded. You're going to go. Man, Wednesday night, we had Bible study. Guess what? You went. But Dad, I don't want to go. I don't care. Why? Because I was commanded. It wasn't, do you want to, do you would like to. There was a way we were going to go. And there were no questions asked. But you know what? I look back on that now, and I'm thankful. I am thankful for the parents that, what I heard somebody say one time, they had a drug problem. Drug them to church. Every Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Yeah, that's, we went a lot. Amen. God says to Abraham, I know this. I'm not going to do this without telling my friend Abraham, because I know he's going to command. When you command, it means you're setting something in order. You're setting it in order. This is the way it is. This is the way it's going to be. This is definitive to keep the way. Amen. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, he says. You've known the Holy Scripture. You've known the sacred Scriptures. The word holy just means sacred. It means something that is revered. Something consecrated. Belonging to God. Hallowed. The sacred writings. What are those sacred writings this morning? It's this book right here. They are to be hallowed. They are to be reverenced. Not taken lightly, not mocked, shared, spoke of. The Shema tells us, whatever means necessary, write them, hang them on your, before your eyes, put them on the doorpost, teach the word of God. And God, let it be in our heart, Lord, that we can share your precious word. It says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Continue in this, and the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know the teachers. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. As we've already said this morning, he learned it from, Timothy learned it from his grandmother, from his mother. Clearly, as we see, We've studied over the last little bit. The Apostle Paul taught Timothy the Scriptures. He taught him the way. He committed unto him. Matter of fact, chapter 1, verse 12 there, or verse 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. I heard it said this way one time, and I like the way it was put. It says, our belief and our behavior are the hallmarks of our gospel ministry. And when you talk about a hallmark, you're talking about something that is a symbol of its genuineness. And so we've got to mix those two. We can't have one without the other. We must have our belief. It matters what we believe, right? We must know the truth. It's the truth that's going to make us free. So we can't just be, you know, excited about something. It must be about the truth of God. So it's our belief with our walk or with our behavior, working together in our ministry to God. The hallmarks, the sign of the genuineness of it. Man. I'll just be perfectly frank with you this morning. I mean, I've been preaching long enough now where talking is not that difficult. I can talk. Everybody say amen. It's easy to talk. You can have giftedness, just simply giftedness to just talk, or just from simply doing it. And I think that's where I fell into. Because I can remember the first time I preached. I'll never forget. I was up at Prospect. And Lord have mercy. Brother Gary came to me one. It was actually New Year's night. It was a New Year's service. And said, I want you to preach the New Year's service. I said, no, you don't. He said, yes, I do. I said, no, you don't. He said, yes, I do. So I was like, okay. And so I remember I got the guy. I started studying. I studied the word. I mean, I studied. I was ready. I had an hour and a half message. It's New Year's. I mean, you got to be ready to go. Peggy just held up a five. She was there. 5 minutes. I was done. That was it. I'd used up all my scripture. I talked about all I knew. And it was over with. And so we had a watch night service. And one thing about watch night service is you got to go till watch night. You're, you know, praying in the new year. And but over the years, I've learned to just talk. I can talk. So it's more than the talk. It's more than just, it's got to be matched with our walk. That's where the difficult part comes in. Our behavior. Amen. Somehow, you know, the clarity of Apostle Paul's teaching was matched by the integrity of his life. I mean, that you could look at his walk. He said, you've known. Matter of fact, he tells us over there in first, where is it? We looked at it last time in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, but verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. You've known my teaching. You've known my doctrine. My manner of life. He doesn't separate these two. You can't separate them. Purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came into me in Antioch. I was thinking this week how, taking the Apostle Paul for an example here, and we mentioned this early on, but the more we study it, the more it just becomes so apparent, and it convicts me myself, it convicts me that here is a man in a dungeon, in prison. His life could be taken at any time. He's not coming out this time. He's going to tell us later in chapter 4, I know that my departure is at hand. I know it's near. And I think about myself, and I think, you know, when you get to that point in your life, just be over in a corner somewhere feeling sorry for yourself. And here's the Apostle Paul saying, I got some words to say. I've got some teaching I want to do. I've got, bring me my cloak, bring me my parchments, bring me my books. I'm not finished yet. I still got something I want to share. And so when he's in this situation, when he's in this place where his life could be taken at any time, yet he still reaches out and says, continue, Timothy. Keep doing what you've been doing. Look, don't look at my situation, because you know what? I'm ready to be offered. Don't get so caught up. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't, you know, don't hang your head. It's time for you to step forward. It's time for you to lead. Man, it's time for you to continue. As I depart, you keep going. You've seen my doctrine. You've seen my manner of life. You've seen my integrity, the integrity of his life. His belief and his behavior mixed together. He says, I want you to guard those things. You've known. Safeguard them. Keep that which is committed unto you. Don't change it. Don't veer from it. I'm okay with whatever means or whatever mode necessary to spread the gospel, but let's commit ourselves as a church that we don't get caught up in the new. That we don't, you know, people try to sell product. It seems like, you know, every time you see a product, it goes on for a while, and then out comes the new and improved. This is the new and improved. And everybody thought, oh, it's new and improved. I thought it was real good before, so this is new and improved, so it's got to be better. And so they go into the new and improved. But let me tell you, you can't improve upon the gospel. You can't improve upon the message. You can't improve upon the way. Let's don't get hung up on the new and improved. The scripture really doesn't involve innovation. It's not required. We don't have to worry about originality. We don't have to try to be original. Let's just try to do what's right really well. How's that? Amen. Do what we know to do and do it really well to the best of our ability by the power of God working in us. Amen. Surrendering our lives to him and asking God to use us. Amen, to use us. And he says the scripture that's able to make you wise, make thee wise unto salvation. This holy scripture this morning is able to make us wise unto salvation. What does that mean? Give us wisdom and show us the way to be saved. The scripture can do that. As we seek, when the scripture talks about wisdom, it's not just talking about those that would gain knowledge. When you look at the Proverbs especially, it's just talking about how we can learn to live our life in a way that is pleasing unto God. That's true wisdom. And the scripture can make us wise unto salvation. There's knowledge, and you can be smart, you can have knowledge, but true wisdom is that when we understand how to live our life in a manner that's pleasing unto God, that's true wisdom. Proverbs teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where wisdom starts, is that we fear God. I'm not downing intellect. It's a wonderful thing. I'm not downing education. I have a lot of respect for people that are determined enough to go out and get an education, and that's excellent. I heard a quote from Adrian Rogers, and I like the way he put it this way. He says, you can understand biology, but not know the giver of life. He says, you can know geology and not know the rock of ages. You can know botany and not know the lily of the valley or the rose of Sharon. You can know history and not know the one that reset it. We can have all the understanding in the world, but if we're not wise unto salvation, Jesus put it this way. He says, "You can. What would profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" Some of the wisest men I've known in my life, I know this might not always be the case, but some of the wisest people I know in my life didn't have a high school education. I can remember my pastor growing up, Brother Johnny Morse. I know I speak of him often, but what an example of a godly man, a man of wisdom. And I don't even remember a lot of his messages, but there's one thing I can remember. I can always remember. I bet he preached it 100 times. He'd get up behind that pulpit, he'd get excited, and he'd always say, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." He made that very clear to me. I understood that it was appointed unto man once to die, and that we would all stand before the Creator. He says it's able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's true wisdom. Knowing how to please God. God, give us wisdom. Amen. And all you're getting, get wisdom. And all that you go after, get wisdom. Let's do this morning, and then we're going to close. I just want to read. I was reading this earlier, and I'm just going to read this. Turn to Proverbs. It's not a very long chapter, but it's kind of in line with what we're discussing this morning. And Proverbs chapter number 4. It just won't take me but a few minutes here. I just want to read, and I'm going to really try hard not to stop and talk. But let's read this together in Proverbs chapter number 4, talking about wisdom. Starting with verse number 1 there. And let's let God's word speak to us this morning. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all that getting, get understanding, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let not them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lip, but put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Amen. Let God's word speak to us this morning. Direction. Purpose. Not chance, not haphazard life, not going about tossed to and fro, pondering our ways, pondering our path. Wisdom, go after it. What wisdom are you referencing? Where do I find this wisdom? Do I find it in? No, it's right here. It's in this book. The holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Paul says this, Timothy, what, do you want to know what to do? Just keep on keeping on. And that's what I want us to do this morning. Keep on keeping on. Don't change our methods unless we can just get more and more into this word. Unless there's something that we're not seeing that we should be walking in, and the word of God opens it to us, then we say, God, there is the way. This voice behind us, direct, that is nothing other than the Spirit of God. What is that voice we hear says, this is the way, walk in it? It's the Spirit of the living God saying, walk this way. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, we're so thankful, God, that you are not a God that's afar off, Lord, that you are truly nigh to us, and we believe that this morning. God, that you have given us your word to direct our steps. God, that you have placed it in our heart, God, that we might not sin against you. Thank you, Lord, for the way. Lord, thank you for the path that you have shown us, the path of righteousness. You lead us in the path of righteousness for your namesake. And God, we want to give you praise for that this morning, and we do ask, God, that you would help us to give this word to our children, to command, God, to direct, Lord, to show the way, Lord, not only by our words, but by our walk, God, not only in what we say, but in what we do, God, let it, that we might not blaspheme your word, God, that we might not bring about none effect, but Lord, that our lives would, God, that we would, God, just be an example of what a true believer is. Give us strength for this upcoming year. Direct our steps as a body, as a church, as individuals. God, help us to grow in grace and knowledge of you. And we just give you praise for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet this morning.